Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you take them and find your place in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, as we continue to think about Paul's challenge to all of us to live as followers of Jesus with the same attitude that Jesus Christ our Lord possessed. We're thinking these days about having the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word tonight that you have given to us, we thank you for Paul the Apostle. We thank you for his faithfulness in the days in which he lived. And here we are, these many thousands of years later, opening these sacred words, which are scripture, given. You gave them to Paul, he wrote them, and we now have them for our generation. Lord, I pray for young and old who are here tonight, who represent First Baptist Church. I ask the same for myself, that we might understand these words, and that by the Holy Spirit's help, we might have the attitude, Lord Jesus, that you modeled for us all. Your attitude is beyond our understanding, but it is what you expect of us. If we are to seek to be Jesus to others, if we are to seek to serve others as you've called us to do, may we understand the importance of these words for us. May they be words of life to us. May they give us strength. May they give us encouragement. May they also challenge us. So help us to hear tonight, and then to do what you call us to do. We thank you for this good day we've had together. We thank you for all who have come. We thank you for the guests who've come among us today. We thank you for those who have been in training tonight and studying the Word of God. And we thank you for our choirs and our boys and girls and all that goes on. We're grateful that we can do it as a church. We pray that what we do pleases you. So, Lord, in the quiet of these next few moments, may we consider and think about the attitude that we're to have like the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we read tonight Philippians chapter 2. I'll take you to verse number 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we looked at this in detail last week, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. And our focus tonight will be verse number 7. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So today we look at this very important principle of humility, and what we saw last week in the Lord Jesus, the divine attitude of humility. It's a divine thing to be humble. The world would say if you're humble, you'll get taken advantage of. Your friends will say if you're humbled, you become a doormat. But the Word of God says you're most like Jesus in your mind when you carry the same attitude he carried in his life. So let's go back. The attitude is described for us in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. In your marriage, do nothing. Do nothing from selfishness. In your relationships with others at church, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. At your job, Do nothing from selfishness. And as Paul describes it, but with humility of mind, with the mind shaped around humility, thinking in a humble way. So we saw last week these words that the Lord Jesus in His glory, pre-existent, fully God, fully man, but when Jesus Christ, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. We talked about this last week and we called it self-humiliation. You see, in order for me to be a victorious Christian, I must live in self-humiliation. Not someone else humiliating me, self-humiliation. I read this week. I thought you'd enjoy it. Me is the most exacting person, requiring the best seat and the highest place for itself. How few of us understand the true secret of taking our seats in the lowest rooms. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to follow Jesus, we've committed as a church that we're going to follow Jesus. That we are going to seek, as a result of confessing Jesus as our Lord, the next steps are that we're going to commit to be aggressive followers of Jesus. So Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, everyone else is more important than you. Everyone else matters more than you. Do not merely look out for your own interests and your families, but look out for others. This is the mind of humility. This pressure we have to exalt ourselves comes from our old nature. We want to make a mark. We want to show that we're important. We want everyone to respect us. All this talk about respect in our world today, in a world of total disrespect, comes from the flesh saying, I'm first, I'm most important, and I matter more than other people. But the follower of Jesus, men and women alike, the follower of Jesus, have this attitude in yourselves because it was in our Lord. It is the attitude that carried the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven and glory to the crib there in Bethlehem. It was the attitude that carried Him all the days of His ministry. Fully God, fully man, humbling Himself. He did not regard His station as being God, eternal God, pre-existent, never created. He did not regard His equality, a thing to be held on to. He let it go. There was self-humiliation in the Lord's coming to this world. And we'll soon, at Christmas time, celebrate the self-humiliation of Jesus. But it is true for us. I must find ways to say no to myself. I must crucify my flesh, and I must live as a follower of Jesus with self-humiliation, recognizing that all that I have comes simply from God. So tonight we come to this next phrase. There are three parts to verse 7. Number one, you have to tie it to verse 6. Though he existed in the form of God in eternity, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be held on to. His being God was not His elevated position. But, verse 7, He did something. He emptied Himself. Number one, He emptied Himself. Number two, He took something. He took the form of a bond slave. And third, He became a man. Fully human. Jesus' surrender of Himself to God was an act of self-renunciation. So tonight we move from self-humiliation to self-renunciation. Pastor Mike, I really want to be a follower of Jesus. I want my life to count. I want to experience the joy of the Lord. Then you must deny yourself. Can't be first anymore. Can't put yourself in front of everybody else. The complaining and the griping and the belly aching because you haven't been treated right goes away. You renounce yourself and your rights. This is so different from the world we live in. It's so different from America. Our unalienable rights, oh yes. But when you're a follower of Jesus, you do what Jesus did. Do you see it here? But emptied himself. This word is the word to empty. It has the idea of self-renunciation. I'm asking you tonight, if you've chosen to be a follower of Jesus, are you willing to step across and say, I am going to wake up every day in all my relationships, at work, at home, at church, wherever I find myself, I'm going to renounce myself as the most important. You see, when the Lord surrendered himself, he allowed basically God to do whatever he wanted to do with him. Listen, this is important. And it didn't matter what anybody else said. I'm going to say it again. Self-renunciation is the idea that I'm going to so present myself and surrender to God that God can do whatever he wants with me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. This is for all of us who choose to be followers of Jesus and be serious about your commitment to him. You must deny yourself and take up your cross. It's self-renunciation. But he emptied himself. This emptying of himself is important because we must also, when we come to Jesus, say, Lord, here's all the things that I treasure. All those darling things. You know, preachers used to use this word, like, darling things. You know the darling things we hold on to. You have your own set and I have mine. Darling sins. Darling desires, darling relationships. We hold on to these darling things. We want these things. We'll give the Lord some of these other things. Here, Lord, you can have these, but I think I want to keep these. No, we empty ourselves. When a man goes to jail, he empties all of his pockets. When a man goes to jail, they take everything from him and put it in a little brown bag. Write his name on it. Empty-pocketed people go to jail. And those who truly follow Jesus empty themselves of their darling things. You know what I find to be true? When you give it up, many times God gives it back. I'm going to say it again. When you give it up, God gives it back. This is God's way. But first, we must think tonight seriously. These are just meditations. We won't be long tonight. I want you to pause there and think with me tonight. I'm thinking of it as you are. We're meditating on this together. But he emptied himself. He didn't empty anybody else. He emptied himself. The focus was upon himself. Laying aside his privileges is another way that some of your Bibles translate this. Can I talk about that for a moment? Laying aside your privileges. He was the Son of God. He had all rights. He created all things. Before all things, the radiant glory of God, the invisible God, as we've learned and we looked at last week in the book of Hebrews, we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. But this one, the Lord Jesus, he laid aside his privileges. Whatever was his as the Son of God, he laid it aside. He laid aside his privileges. I ask you tonight, as a follower of Jesus, have you tried to follow Jesus plus all of your darling things. You have your privileges. You keep all hold of those things. You hold them close to you. And if anybody offends you in those darling things, well, you're gone somewhere else. You're going to do something else. It is interesting to note that the things that offend us most are generally the things that we hold on to and need to actually empty ourselves of. Well, I think I should be respected. Then lay aside your privilege, your expectation to be respected. Jesus laid aside his privileges and allowed God the Father to do whatever he wanted with him, no matter what other people thought. This is hard because when you live like this in front of people, they may appear to think that you're weak or that you've lost your mind because you're not thinking right. You should be standing up for yourself. You should be assertive. You should be aggressive. But the Word of God says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard, see, that's a mental thing. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held onto, but he laid aside his privileges. And then secondly, he took something. He laid aside his privileges, and what did he do? He became a bond slave. Now let's talk about this. America doesn't have bond slaves in the same sense that the first century did. There were those who were slaves because of debt or other reasons. They would go into slavery. They were in slavery to an owner until their debt was fulfilled or paid. But there were others that were born as slaves, bond slaves. They were permanent slaves. They had no rights in the first century. They were treated as property. They were counted as property. Bond slaves. No one thought anything of a bond slave. Jesus told the parable that when the slaves do what they do for their master, they're only doing what they're supposed to do. No master comes in and says to his slaves, look, you've done all this hard work today, sit down here and I'll feed you a meal. Jesus said no. When the master comes in, the servants and the slaves, these bond slaves with no rights, they serve continually the master, and then they say, we have done nothing more than our duty. Are you listening to me tonight, church? This is the way we speak as bond slaves. You have surrendered your freedom in order to become the slave of God. And now you wake up in the morning and you say, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to speak to these people? How long should I stay? What should I do? Jesus said in Luke 22, 27, I am among you as one who serves. What a statement. If we're going to have this attitude of self-renunciation and laying aside our privileges, we have to take something up. And what we take up is a new identity. Slaves of God. We become a slave. Oh, but I have to tell you, it's one thing to think of being a slave to God, but I can hear it in my ears. My kids used to say all the time when one of them would try to boss the other one around, you're not the boss of me and I'm not your slave. But I have to read this to you. Matthew 20, 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Not only God the Father. Oh, I don't know if we're ready for what I'm about to say. But to serve all these other people that are more important than us. The Son of Man did not come, Matthew 20, 28, to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for those in sin. What would it look like if all of us would live our life day to day in our marriages, in our relationships, here at church, at our job, where we became the servant, the slave? Oh, they're going to take advantage of you. Yes, they probably will. And so maybe I should remind you of what the Lord Jesus said will happen to his disciples when they're taken advantage of. Do you remember what he said? He talked to us about, bless those. When people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things against you evil, bless them and rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Bless those who take advantage of you. Well, it's got to stop somewhere. I have to draw the line. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond slave. And you know, tonight, I must think, how do I serve you? You're more important than me. How do I serve God? By learning to serve you. How can I serve a God I cannot see if I cannot serve you? What is it they say at my favorite restaurant, even though we don't want to have one here in Dixon, Chick-fil-A? You just try to throw those little boys and girls, those young people off that are working in there. You try to throw them off by fussing or whatever, and you know what you're always going to hear? This is in their training. It's my pleasure to help you. Yeah, just try to fuss about your chicken. It wasn't done. You need more of this. Or surely there are no Christians in this room that ever fuss when you go through the drive-thru. But they're trained to say, it's my pleasure to serve you. Look around you. All the more important people are sitting around you. So the Lord Jesus teaches us tonight the importance of self-renunciation, self-humiliation, this attitude of divine humility comes to us from our Lord Jesus. We model what he has done, and God gives us the ability to do it. Think of the ways the Lord Jesus served others. He served all those days knowing Judas would one day betray him, but he served him nevertheless. He served. He gave food to the many who demanded it, and they were hungry, and most of them never appreciated it. He healed lepers, as we saw the other day, and only 1 out of 10 turned back to even say thank you. Midway through his ministry, as he preached and said, if you're really going to follow me, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. And it says many turned away and would not be his disciples anymore. You see, this business of following Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is a very important, serious matter. If you surrender your life to Jesus and you confess him as Lord, that means that you must renounce yourself. That's why some of us in this room are having problems in our spiritual life, because our darling self is still in the middle, not crucified. And I promise you, you have to crucify yourself every day. I'm going to read it again. Me is the most exacting person, requiring the best seat and the highest place for itself. How few of us understand the secret. Oh, there's a blessed secret in this act of humility and self-renunciation. Finally, he became a man. Oh, I'm so honored to know that as I pray, I'm just so encouraged. As we're studying the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, those who are joining me in that. Not everybody can be there, and I understand that. I just read these words thinking about this glorious Lord Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, and He is also a merciful High Priest. Therefore, He had, this is Hebrews 2:17, therefore He, Jesus, had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful High Priest in things pertaining to God. For since He Himself was tempted like us, you see, He became a man in His serving. You say, well, I can't serve like Jesus. Yes, you can. He served in His flesh. Fully human, you can serve. It's more than taking a job from the nominating committee, even though that's serving. It's an attitude of the way you treat your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your work partners, your friends, and fellow believers in Jesus. Oh, to be able to pray and shut the door and be alone and pray to our Father, speak to the Lord Jesus, our great High Priest who completely identifies with us, as Hebrews 2:18 says, because He's one of us, because of His flesh, He's able to come to our aid. It's hard to serve God in the flesh. But Jesus took bond servant, bond slavery, and made it the mark of Christian commitment. I'm not here for you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. You're here to serve others, not yourself. So tonight, as we conclude, we read again these words. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Oh, what a change it would make in our marriages. What a change it would make in our church. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves, and do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, others matter more than me. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So tonight we pray that the Lord would teach us how to say these words to our dearest, dearest loved ones and to strangers alike. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and we thank You for what we've learned tonight from the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your actions for us. You have set the model. We are Your apprentices. We are Your disciples, those of us who take it seriously. And now You expect of us to do and to have Your attitude. And Your attitude was one of serving others, not placing Yourself above others. Help me, Lord. And help my friends who are here tonight lay aside what I consider my rights and privileges. Help me take up the robe of a bond slave to God and to man. And may I have the right spirit and attitude to always, when I see someone coming my way, ask and pray and speak to them and say, how can I serve you?